Put down the Winter Dragon, Demi.
All right, Winter Dragon is down. What are we going to talk about this episode? We're not going to do any clips, right?
Nope, no clips today. I'm going to refer to a few things, but no clips.
Yeah, we're going to have some Bibles open. We're going to have some Wikipedias open. And,
Wikipedia this D.
Fandom Wikipedia. I am dying to give somebody some money so I can have a free fandom page. I would pay $15.
You know, you can do Wikipedia yourself, right?
What?
Wikipedia is just people who edit their
own
shit. Oh,
right. No. Not that. I just know fandom just has so many ads.
Yeah.
Especially on the phone. Like, it's impossible to look at fandom on your phone app. It's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, so we're going to do Compulsion first.
We are going to talk about Compulsion first.
The main reason why I want to get into Compulsion is because, I think we've probably already seen some subtle uses of it, even though, like, it'll be one of those things that, like, something will happen and they'll kind of flash back on it. Maybe not so much the first season, but I think in the second season, there's a lot of, and like in books 2 and 3, there's a lot of kind of like things that go on and you're like, that was a weird interaction, or, you know, that was a weird way for Nynaeve to react or something like that. And then you start going back and you realize that that's because it's like the person that they thought they were talking to is not that person. And they were using kind of like a Jedi mind trick style with the one power to kind of press on their mind. So I'm going to talk about something called the Mask of Mirrors as well. That is a one power weave that has been lost and people are starting to rediscover it. It's just a way to disguise yourself. It's a bending of the light. It's using air and I suppose fire to kind of, you know, you settle a weave over yourself. And so I could look like you. It's sort of like Polyjuice Potion.
Okay.
But you don't have to have a potion. You don't have to have a potion and you don't have to have someone's like hair or something. You can just look at that person, and if you're adept enough in the one power, you can just Mask of Mirrors. And some people can only like cast it on other people, like they can only do it for other people, and some people are strong enough to do it for themselves, or some people don't know how.
Is it,
and like the Forsaken will put it on someone to disguise them.
I don't remember what they called it, but towards the end of the book, Lan, I think it must have been Moraine, but I feel like Lan was talking about it, how they basically they cloak themselves by bending light around.
Oh, their camp. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
They, and you know, like Perrin, and they all step out of it and then they're like, whoa, what the fuck? Where'd everybody go?
Oh, that's what happened. Okay.
That's a bending of the light. That is a similar, it's like you start to realize certain weaves are kind of tied together. And that definitely is it just the same idea, except you're making a person look different. So it's obviously a much more complex weave. And I believe they can be dangerous in a certain way too, because if you do it badly, things can go shitty. But I don't think it's like a permanent, you know, oh, you fucked up, now you look like a horse or something. You know what I mean? It's nothing weird like that.
Your face stay that way if you make that face.
Quit looking up Winter Dragon.
I'm not. I thought you were going to start talking because you actually know what you're talking about. So I'm just kind of glancing up here to see if I can find any questions.
Yeah. So in the most basic definition, Compulsion is the name for the art of subjugating another person's will through the use of the one power. The lesser form of compulsion is described like a whip and makes the subjects a little nervous and giddy. More advanced compulsion compels the subject to kind of worship the user. And the longer you're under compulsion and the deeper you get into it, the more kind of devoted you start to lose your personality. If they get to the point where the power and the tendrils are so deep in their mind that ripping them out is almost like if you swallowed something with barbs on it, you know, you're just going to like rip out your whole insides too. You know, it's just going to rip your brain and your personality. At a certain point, Rand can't remember exactly what happens. There's some sort of a messenger and Rand like sends him knowing that a certain Forsaken will put them under compulsion, or that they've already been under compulsion. And I think he's just a boy. He's like 12 or 13 years old. And he has Nynaeve, because she's so good at healing, remove the compulsion, and he just drops dead because there's nothing left. Once his devote.
So it's kind of like having the one power removed almost in a way.
Sort of, except you just drop dead because you were so devoted to the person, and all of a sudden that whole reason is gone. So it's almost that same kind of tearing away, you know.
Jesus. Is Grendel actually that gorgeous, or is she just running a compulsion charm on the entire world?
No, she is actually very attractive, but then like they say, compared to Lanfear, she was just, you know, plumply pretty.
That's right.
And she, you know, and that kind of drove her crazy, you know. And so it was funny because apparently before she went to the Dark One, before she kind of flipped sides, is that she was kind of like a very like reserved type of person. And like she didn't, you know, people didn't really know her and she dressed just kind of like conservatively. And then once she switched sides, she would always wear these like see-through dresses and she was just always showing, you know, fucking wearing these diaphanous silk dresses that you could see through or anything. And dude, Robert Jordan is definitely a less is more kind of guy. There is, I'm actually trying to look up the wiki right now because I was going to cite a few specific events that like when you come across them in the books, you'll be like, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some. I'm sure I came across what I did.
It like probably said. Hasn't really been that many yet.
Okay.
Where you're at, that really start to kick in the second and third books. Like some people I've seen on like Reddit and stuff, they think that like Moraine giving the coins to the boys is kind of like a form of compulsion. And it's not really, it's more to just kind of create a bond with them. So like, if they look at it, they'll think about her and then she'll kind of like, she can kind of like feel where they're at because of it. It's a trick of the power, I believe, but it's not compulsion as far as I know. There's a time when I think Nynaeve, this girl who, Rand runs across her. She's one of the farm girls. She starts totally hitting on him and the farmer ends up kicking him out because she's all into Rand. And she just come across her for a minute. She ends up going to the White Tower because she can actually channel, but not very much. And she definitely isn't like, you know, dedicated to learning. She ends up getting kicked out. And Nynaeve's like, why would the Amnoran see, why would Son Sanche send this dumb shit of a girl with this really important message about the Black Aja to us? And so Nynaeve starts to chase her and she like comes around the corner and she's right there and she still looks like Elle Screenwell, but then she's just like, she was so beautiful and I just feel so stupid and she's tall and I'm short and ugly and I could never channel as much as her. And she's like, wait, I know she can't channel that much. And then they tell her later, she's like, why did you tell her to give me a message? She's like, that girl got sent home like a month ago or 2 weeks ago. She'd been gone. And so you realize, obviously, she was talking to somebody else, but you don't really figure out who until later. And she was definitely having, I won't say who, was pressing on her mind for sure to kind of like make her, you know, feel that way. I don't think we see Grendel for a while, but I really hope they bring her in. I feel like she's pretty important because she's a really kind of... kind of one of the last Forsaken that Rand Heineck has to deal with before he kind of goes to the last battle and deals with the other couple of people who are left. And it's really kind of his come to Jesus moment where he's really kind of at his worst as far as like the ends justify the means. He basically uses I think he uses the Choden Call, which is the little man statue that Rand had in the first season of the TV show. It's a little different than but basically the Choden Call is a statue of a man holding a globe like this. It is connected to a huge Saw Angriel that's like a 10-story statue of the same thing.
Oh.
And it connects, it's like a key to access the power in that giant statue. And so like with that, like Rand is like, no one could stop him. There's a female version to it too. Lanfear tries to get him to like, we can do everything. We can kill the Dark One. We are it, you know? And he's like, you're crazy. But that is one of the last times he uses that thing, and he uses it to basically balefire an entire fortress with people in it because almost all of them are under compulsion from Grendel. But he does it. He sends the kid or the messenger to see if he's under compulsion. And when he comes back, just thick with compulsion, Nynaeve can like kind of untie it and go, yeah, there's nobody else that could do this except probably her.
Yeah.
And there's probably no one else who could untie it except me because Nynaeve is that good at healing. And Rand's like, okay, well, that proves she's there. And just balefires the whole fucking place. So yeah, there's a lot of shit that goes on with that. And she actually is, I don't know if he gets her then. I don't think he does. Or he does, but you know, the Dark One can kind of bring people back sometimes. So
is it?
It's a thing.
If one is commanded under compulsion to commit an action that is an innermost desire, is that an innermost desire of the spellcaster or the one under compulsion?
Read it in, I need a little more context.
If I'll start over again, there's not much. If one is commanded under compulsion to commit an action that is an innermost desire, the command will persist for the remainder of that person's life. I thought you already mentioned this. That's why.
Okay.
So who's?
No. Okay. So it's like if someone is a dark friend and they might put compulsion on them to like really like to make them like not quit when, you know, when the going gets tough type of thing. Or, you know, like to really drive it home, like we're going to fucking die and we're going to torture you if you don't fucking do this. Then if it's something like their innermost desire, usually it means more like if they want to do something anyway, and then they're kind of already, they're being compulsed to do it as well.
Okay.
Then they're just kind of like, whatever, it'll stick with them. But if it's something like, if I'm trying to compulse you to like, go fucking cut your arm off, and you're like, I don't want to do that, you're probably going to fucking, you know, depending on your strength of will, you're going to be able to fight it.
Okay.
You know, it's like, hey, you're going to have to go kill Kelly and Cormac. So, and it's like, no, I don't want to do that. So you're going to have much more reserve to fight something like that. Then it's like, hey, Dez, you're going to need to go drink some water. And you're like, okay, I guess I'll go get some water.
Guess that's what I'm going to do. I guess I'm going to go drown myself.
Okay. I'm going to drink lots. Where's the fountain? So it's like, I mean, that's obviously like a very simple like breakdown, but it's like,
yeah, no, that works out perfect.
It's kind of like if they're working for the shadow anyway, it's going to be easier to, or if, you know, if they're more ambiguous to the kind of like, well, I'm just out for me. I don't really care if it's light or dark. I'm just trying to live.
Well, because I was wondering too, because if it's the person casting compulsion, if it was their innermost desire, then I could see them casting a larger spell. But that's why I was wondering.
Right. I don't think that's what they mean. Yeah. I think that's more, it's more along the lines of like, you know, if it's something that you're already, like if you're dead set against, the second that they're kind of not focusing their compulsion on you, it's going to start to lessen, you know? And like, that's one of the things actually that I would, reason why I'm mentioning like clips, like in the White Tower, it's like, as soon as she's gone, they kind of like, Nynaeve is pretty strong. And she's like, what the fuck was that? What was that? You know, it was just like, that was weird, you know? And then they just kind of, and it's funny because they just kind of like this, they shake it off so much. And then like you, that you don't even realize that that's what's happening in the book. You're like, wait a minute, how did you guys walk into this? Like, you guys are smarter than this. And like, apparently not. We're smarter than this, Anakin. Apparently not.
Yeah, it is totally like a Jedi mind trick. Like, it seems like it's something that most women who go on to become Aes Sedai practice a form of compulsion just because they don't realize that when they wish for something, they get it and they don't understand why. And it's not until they go.
Yeah, a lot of Wilders do some sort of compulsion without knowing it. And yeah. Leandrin is one who does a painful form of compulsion, and it starts to happen. She does it on Rand, like at the beginning of the second book. And he's like, I'm sure I was going to die if someone didn't show up.
Wow.
Cause he doesn't know how to channel yet. And he was like freaking out. And like, who knows, maybe she was just, you know, she was compulsing him to think, you know, like you can kind of like create nightmares almost with it, like waking nightmares. It's like, if he's so afraid of her because of compulsion, he might channel and then she would know exactly who he was. Like, why are you traveling with Aes Sedai? Why are you being protected by Aes Sedai? You can channel. And she's a Red, so she ain't having that. I mean, Varen, although it's like Varen does it and she kind of requires the subject to, like, she kind of like leads them there with logic. So then it's easier to kind of like, and gotcha.
So this is just kind of interesting. So they kind of, they're in explaining compulsion in here, they mention the thing you were talking about, but that person still dies even after Nynaeve removes the weave from that person. Like, I thought that she would.
Because if they've been under, if they're under deep enough compulsion, there's pretty much no saving them. They'll either die or maybe become a vegetable. Apparently the Blue Aja, it says one of their secret weaves is closely related to compulsion. I'm not sure exactly what that is, unless it's what Moraine does with the coin.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm wrong about that. You know, it could be definitely a thing, but.
So yeah, it says the strongest form of compulsion is a weave of water and air. A weaker form of compulsion that Varen has discovered uses all five elements. That's just interesting to me. I would think weaving all five elements would make it stronger. So that's just a...
Well, and that's, you know, they're going by what they know right now. You know, most people are not adept enough to handle five weaves at once. Most people maybe do two or three. And like, there are stronger versions. Like, I think there's like fire, you know, that you use like air and fire. And then there's like fire. And then there's like another kind of like wizard fire that sticks to you or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's a more... they'll add another layer to it, whether it's spirit or water. I've seen them use, like, they'll put water right in front of this on thing of fire to just fucking steam burn a bunch of Trollocs.
Is spirit the fifth element?
Yes.
Earth, wind, fire, water, spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. That's fucking cool.
From what I can tell, it's like spirit is something that kind of reinforces and ties everything together.
That would make sense.
Like a lot of the healing, it's like really when it comes, it's like, you know, it's they'll just use a touch of spirit, like the, you know, the spirit streaked with water and air. It's like it'll some of them, it will be mostly spirit, like stuff like the compulsion is mainly spirit touched with other things. But I didn't know about Varen using all five elements, but she uses her, like I said, as hers is more of like she kind of leads you down the path. And by the time she like kind of springs her little mental trap, you're already kind of there if you know, that's how hers works. It's something that she learned, you know, early, like you said. A lot of women who use the power inadvertently use some form of compulsion because they just, you know, they want something really badly and they just manage to get it and they don't really know how.
Yeah, they think they're just wishing. They don't realize they're...
And compulsion comes into like huge play towards the end because they start getting like, you know, the main generals who are controlling the armies and they start getting them under compulsion and it starts, you know, it's subtle, but it's strong because they start making these kind of big mistakes during the battles and it's very detrimental.
Are the Shan Chan a form of compulsion? Are they compulsed or is that different?
No. Well, God, you really get the assignment sometimes. Yes and no. I do believe that at a certain point, Archer Hawkwing was sick and they make mention of how Ishmael was in his ear. And we don't know if this was in the world of dreams, as an advisor in his council. But one of the reasons why the Shan Chan are the Shan Chan is that Archer Hawkwing's descendants and kids, like his heirs, took off across the oceans at the behest of, you know, this person who Archer Hawkwing commanded him. But, you know, they were like, this is weird. Why is he doing this? Because he had Ishmael in his ear and he could have been healed from whatever was ailing him, but he wouldn't let Aes Sedai near him because he didn't trust them. And that was also, I believe, because of Ishmael. And so in that sense, they're compulsed because they began their mission kind of with a form of compulsion, in my opinion.
Yeah.
By being sent across the oceans. And when they come back, and I don't know how long this is going on, but as far as I know, it's one of the main reasons for the Karen or the return, which is the Shan Chan coming home to retake Arthur Hawkwing's lands. And there is a Forsaken who is kind of doing some compulsion and a lot of manipulation on the royal families and stuff like that, which I don't know how much of it's compulsion, if it's more political machinations or a little bit of both, but I believe she's been there for a pretty long time.
Just sounds like, yeah, unless you have unless you're very controlled in what you're doing and trying not to, it seems like people who wield the one power, just being near them is going to keep weak minds slightly compulsed.
In that sense, absolutely, because like that's one of everybody's biggest fears is like, you don't know what they'll do. They'll brainwash you, blah, blah. You know, like typical people who are uninformed, the rumors that start, you know. And so in that sense, absolutely, you're definitely like already affected. It's like people with Mike Tyson, they got knocked out before they even got in the ring because they were so fucking scared.
Yeah.
People who think of Aes Sedai that way and who are already like, man, they're going to fucking... How weak do you think of yourself if you're already expecting something that someone you know nothing about to take over your mind? Like, you have a little more faith in yourself.
And you're probably giving them stuff too. Like, here, take my gold, just go away. And then later on, you're like, that bitch stole my gold. It's like, no, she didn't. You just emptied your pockets.
I just really wish I could find out what happened to my son 6 years ago when he went on his hunting trip. Oh, you know, I know about your son. Well, you tricked me into saying that. No, you just, what? I asked why you were sad.
Witches, burn him. Burn him.
Burn the witch.
Burn the witch.
But so, and like compulsion becomes such a huge thing. And it's like, and you start to see it pop up. And then once you realize what it is, it's because it's the biggest fear. And that's one of the reasons that like there's an oath rod because, well, we can't do that because we're Aes Sedai. But it's like, you don't think there's a fucking workaround. And that's one of the things about, it's like, well, you're not allowed to channel, you know, like violently to save, unless it's to save your own life. All you have to do is convince yourself that your life's in danger. So if there's a little kid throwing bricks at you, you'd be like, well, he was trying to kill me. Zap. Like, as long as you believe that, it doesn't matter, you know? And so it's like, you don't even have to be evil. You can just be like maybe a scared or paranoid person.
I'm dying to find out. I think that's the biggest thing we saw but didn't see in the first season of the show was when Moraine and the Ammerlin Seat were undoing the oath or whatever.
Yeah, I still don't know what the fuck that was about.
Something going on there. Like,
I think it was more about the wording, because it was kind of like, I will obey Suan Sanchi. And I think that Moraine did that because I think she feels like there's going to... I think Moraine already sees Swan's downfall coming.
Oh, yeah.
And when actually Moraine's kind of comes first, because... looks like she's been severed as far as the end of this season one, you know, looks like she's been cut off from the power completely for good. So, but my thoughts are, if I do, how would Moraine know that already? Or was she just safeguarding in case someone was the Emilran seat? She wouldn't be basically compelled to obey them by that.
Oh,
oath.
Yeah.
It's all about the wording, and they're really care. And that's always saying watch what Aes Sedai actually says,
yeah,
and what she doesn't say, because it's, you know, it's like, oh, it's true from a certain point of view, Anakin.
Yep.
I mean, it really is. Even like the defense of your own over your life, you know, like, you know, oh, I felt like I was in danger enough to channel, you know. And they could do lots of stuff that's non-lethal, but could end up in someone's death, too.
Yep.
First and foremost, season two is wrapped.
Oh, all right.
I'm hearing that from JordanCon. They are done. They officially announced that Avienda is Eula Smart. That was kind of a rumor, but they came out at JordanCon and they were literally filming the last couple fight scenes around the corner, and it was Rafe saying who she was, and he's like, this is an official, you know, bit of news. And then also apparently it's wrapped. What I'm hearing about it is that the Avienda is going to be in it towards the end. Maybe she won't show up till like the last episode, but that's going to be early. So that's going to be telling me that either they're moving up the Aiel involvement in the story by almost a whole book, or we're, like I said, we're going to cover like a book and a half in this. And this guy called Nablis. I got to give him credit, because he's one of the first people I started watching as far as content creators. He like made his Wheel of Time page to like practice making the page he wanted to make, and then just it took off. So, but he's pretty funny, but he's a pretty good like technical analysis as far as the Wheel of Time. And he's kind of been an insider from day one. And what he was saying is that he's hoping more. And he's like, I don't care. He's kind of like me. I don't care what they do, but the writing has to back it up. And that's totally what I always say. It's like, look, I'm cool with creative license. Stick to the meat of the story and make sure the writing backs it up. And I'm fine with it. But he's hoping that maybe they are using Morocco as two different parts of the world. And here's why. You get to see at this point, like, if this is the world, this is the Aiel waste, this is the coast. Xian Shan are coming here. Aiel are coming from here. And they're kind of... But it sounds like Xian Shan are fighting Aiel at the end of season two, which would mean you went from here to eventually meeting kind of here to like the Aiel are all the way to the coast and turning back the Xian Shan invasion, or the Xian Shan have came way inland. Maybe what we were talking about, it's like they're seeing Rand fight in Falm on the coast against the Xian Shan, and then the Aiel and Matt, since he's separated, is down in Tyr breaking into the Stone of Tyr. And then, but the whole reason why they're going to the Stone of Tyr is because Rand's going there to get Kalendor. So it's another reason why our next episode is going to be about traveling, because I feel like traveling has to happen in the second season, at least by the end. Because I thought you would get Rand doing some skimming or traveling at the end of the first season. And that'll tie us into my next question. Have you finished the book, you asshole? I know it's been a busy week. Just say no. It's fine.
20 minutes, Justin. I'm 20 minutes away. Today, I was like, there's no way.
Oh, wait. No, you're only 20 minutes from the end?
Yeah, from the credits.
Okay, that's far enough. Okay.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's definitely far enough, but I can't say I fucking finished it.
Has Rand started pounding on the ground and saying it has to end, it has to end, and then he's following Ishmael through the dark, running up the fucking, like, floating steps?
I think so.
Are they at the eye?
Yeah, they're past. I think the battle's over. I keep waiting for a second round.
Well, the main battle is fucking, like, you know, he fucking, one of the Forsaken snatches up Nynaeve and is like scrubbing her face.
Yes.
He flings Lan, and then some shit starts.
Rand like wakes up. That just like, I've been rushing towards the end because I'm like, I just want to fucking get to the end. I'm going to listen to the last three chapters four times anyways. So just let me fucking touch the end once. So I was kind of rushing and probably not paying as close of attention as I thought. And then Rand wakes.
You're Russian. You have very bad Asherash.
So Rand just woke up. and was kind of surprised. Like everyone around him, Nynaeve.
Yeah.
Egwene, everyone seems a little surprised to see him.
Yeah, he kind of comes stumbling out of the woods and he's got like fucking like soot all over him.
Yeah.
That soot is Aghanor. He fucking just burned his ass to shit smithereens with fire. But more importantly, like when Aghanor Rand starts seeing the line of light going off the back of him.
Yes. Yes.
Aghanor, there, that's the pool of Sidene that is clean, untainted Sidene that was supposed to only be accessible by the dragon, but because Aghanor was one of the like knew what happened when it was put there, he starts drawing on it and he goes from being like a parchment, like literally like his skin is brittle and falling off, to like getting younger with every little pulse of light that he's drawing on it. And he's so strong in the power. And then Rand like just fucking cuts that tether and then takes, but like it's figuratively, but like he severs him from that clean source. And then takes that power and he channels it all. Like he uses it to kill that dude. Then the green man kills the other guy. Do you know what part I'm talking about? When he picks Bathamel up and he like,
yes,
just like fucking shit starts growing out of him.
Yes, 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 yes.
But he also, the green man dies in that as well.
Well, he was like, yeah. And that's what's crazy is that when Rand shows up, when he comes back to whatever, like, because yeah, I thought they were all battling around him.
No,
but then all this light, like I said, the and then they basically said, what surprised me was they said the green man was buried
because like he, when he died, it's like shit just started growing over him and like
the, oh okay, yeah, that makes sense that would happen to the green man
totally.
Yeah.
And like everybody else was kind of knocked out. Rand does that shit, and like as soon as like Rand, he kills Aghanor, and then like he's just like filled to bursting with the power and he's like, I don't know what to fucking do. And he, I believe, follows Ishmael somehow. He rips open, that might be going into the World of Dreams, but I think it's going into the skimming, which is just kind of like fucking empty time and space basically if you fall off that little skim. But he's like, basically Ishmael's running, and it's like as he runs, like a step appears in front of him and then he goes through this door. Rand follows him, they fight, he injures him, and then Rand also travels to Tarwyn's Gap. But like they make it almost like he's this god like person. It's like you're looking out on a Sims game and he's just there, and he's there.
Yeah.
With like, you're just like, oh, I put my cursor there, now I'm there. Put my cursor there, now I'm there. But they don't explain it, and you don't know what traveling is at this point either.
Right.
So, like I said, well, you know.
And he summons his mom. He summoned Rand's mom.
That is some compulsion right there, basically.
Okay.
Maybe he is ripping into the World of Dreams, because that's some shit that will pop up in the World of Dreams really easy. Total mind fuck stuff.
Yeah.
But it could be compulsion too. But that's what I said. That's why I'm getting into this, because it's like, once you realize compulsion and traveling, it makes that end is still fucking kind of confusing, but it makes it way more under. You're like, okay, so he was doing some shit. They were in whatever kind of ethereal nether realm, maybe Telenriad, maybe just this kind of like realm of channeling that's, you know, kind of almost like you said, because they're so close to the eye of the world, maybe almost outside the pattern.
Yeah.
In a way, yeah. You know, and that's why everybody else was like, where'd you go? Because yeah. It's like, it's, you know, it's maybe, and like I said, and that's why I said, maybe it's Telenriad. Maybe it's some stepping out of the pattern. I'd really have to go back and listen to that again for the 9 millionth time to decide what I think about that. But I think it's, you know, like I said, I think it's kind of like Telenriad-ish and then like him traveling.
But it's, yeah, it happens like, yeah, it's definitely going to be like the first couple chapters, like, and it's cool. Like, I'm really glad we're talking about skimming and traveling and stuff, because that'll make my second listen to the end of this possibly make more sense. Because it was one of those things where it's like, I would space out every once in a while and be like, wait, what the fuck? But then I would also listen really intently and go, wait, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, you're exactly. You're listening to it really intently. I'll rewind it. You're like,
Yeah, a couple times I would rewind. I'm like, obviously I missed like four paragraphs, and I would rewind it and I missed two sentences.
Just one, maybe a couple holy words.
Fuck. Like, all right.
Like, we inside, Nynaeve scowled. Then they were, everyone was dead. Wait, what? No, you guys skipped something.
What?
Something happened.
What chapter am I on?
But so, like I said, hopefully, you know, maybe traveling's coming in. Maybe they're just kind of showing different parts of the world, and that's where you see the Aiel. Maybe they're not interacting with our characters. I'm thinking that our kind of like little party up time that I was talking about might happen even without Rand. I think everybody's going to be going their separate ways. Daniel Henney's like, hey, they were like, where was your favorite place to film? He's like, oh, Italy. He's like, I said, took a little vacation after we were done. And they're like, wait, no one said you guys were ever filming in Italy. And so it's thinking maybe it's like a side quest for him and Moraine. They're kind of doing something, or maybe him alone. You know, so who knows?
So what? So, yeah, I guess for the show, it makes more sense since we knew Egwene so much better. It made sense for Ishmael. Is it Ishmael? To use Egwene instead of Rand's mom.
Yeah, because at this point, like, Rand doesn't really know his mom that well. He barely remembers her.
Or we don't. We definitely don't know it. Rand seems to know her to some degree. But
well, that's one of the things I said, I think, last week when we recorded. The thing with his mom really feels like a one-off. It doesn't feel like it fits to me. Because it really doesn't come up again. It's like, save me, son. And it's just like, I think it was like kind of like, maybe I'm only going to get one book. This is I'm going to go for the kind of typical mindfuck, because he really questioning his parentage, you know, the whole book.
Well, and it might have been a good call for the book too, and with such a long haul in the book that, you know, obviously Rand loves his mom, but he doesn't, like, if it had been Egwene, he may have made himself crazy trying to save her, where since it's his mom, I think part of...
Yeah, maybe that's just an example of another mistake that the Shadow makes when they think that they you know, because they're like, that's all they ever say.
Yeah.
I know you lose there, and I know what you're going to do. You're going to do this. And, you know, constantly, and sometimes to his own peril, but Rand's like, I'm not going to do what you think I'm going to do. Like I said, he's that fucking Y kid. He's like, well, yeah, I might do that, but why? Why do you want me to do that? Is it because it's good for you? So maybe it's good for him too. But he's like, I'm not going to do that.
I may lose Theron's soul might be inside of me, but I am Rand motherfucking Althor.
Rand motherfucking Al Telamon.
don't tell me how to do it.
Lose Theron Althor.
Thank the light, everybody. Until next time, I am. Oh. That's my time pop. Say goodbye.
Come on, dude.
Oh, thank you for listening to Thank the Light. If you want more from us, check out @ParchedAilman on Twitter. That is @ParchedAilman on Twitter. We will be there to chit chat with you all things Wheel of Time. You guys are awesome. You know what? You can bypass all of that and hit us straight on the email at thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. Hit us up with your question, comments, things you want us to talk about, thoughts you have on what we've already talked about. Do that. And while you're waiting for our next episode, head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com. That is whatsoundsawesome.com. Or wherever else you find fine free shows. We have a time travel movie podcast called Time Pop, a comedy spirituality podcast called All the Answers, one that's all about fitness and nutrition, that is Truth Not Trends, and one that is all about awesome, brave women, not unlike the Aes Sedai, that is the Be Brave podcast. That one doesn't have wizards. All the Answers has actual wizards. Be Brave just has awesome women. May you always find water and shade.
Hope you got that other stuff, because it was genius.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
I'm the type of guy that'll leave my drawers in your hamper.